You are now stuck in the middle of somewhere. I am your host, Joel Gardner, joined every week by my good buddy, Derek Sweet. This is episode 46 of the podcast, and out this week in what few record stores are left is the Black Keys' latest album, El Camino. This is the first single off that album titled Lonely Boy. So go out on iTunes and buy that shit. Welcome back to the podcast.
Special Mike in the Room edition.
Mike in the Room. Derek lent out his mics, so all we have is this one mic to go on right now.
I haven't been running my Going to Hell Sundays comedy room, so guy buddy Chris Griffin's covering for me on it, and he's got my microphone, so we're using a Sennheiser microphone in the center of a room.
So first off, I want to say congrats, dude. Our good buddy Derek Sweet here got engaged yesterday.
Yeah, engaged yesterday.
Now fiance.
Super romantic and cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were at Zoo Lights. She loves Christmas lights, so we're at Zoo Lights. And
the Zoo Lights is our local zoo.
Puts up an absolutely shitty display.
Terrible, dude. I don't know why everyone goes to it and raves about it so much. It's garbage.
There was a couple of them we were trying to figure out what they were. We didn't even know. We're like, what is that? It's got a face. I can see it. She's like, I think it's a Smurf. I'm like, why would there just be a Smurf there randomly? And there's been some horrendous windstorms in Calgary, like 140 kilometers, like hurricane one speed windstorms.
Oh, yeah,
that's like
crazy. Roofs have been torn off people's houses, man.
So you can imagine how impressive Zoo Lights was with its... It wasn't very good to begin with, and now a whole bunch of shit was blown over. Stuff was blown off, of course. Yeah, there was crazy winds.
Hilarious. Oh, so, speaking of which, I think your fiance just walked in the door.
Yeah, she just came home. So here, I'll just close the door. Hey, we're just recording in here, okay?
Okay.
And, yeah.
So you gonna tell us how it happened? Or, you know, you want to...
I was just, you know, like, we're waiting for, like, half an hour as we walked around these gay Christmas lights. It's funny, because Zoo Lights is something I would normally not really want to do, but since I knew this was happening, she suggested Zoo Lights.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, immediately. I was like, okay, we're doing that, because I was like, of course, And then we were walking along, and I waited till finally no one was around, and then I was like, what's this in my pocket that's poking me? And she's like, what? And I take it out, and it's like this box. I'm like, what's this box? Why does it have this
crazy wrapping? It was wrapped
on it. Yeah, it was like, had like a little bow on it and stuff, so yeah. Like I undo it. And then I'm like, will you marry me? And she's like, she just bawls. She just starts bawling. And I'm like ushering her off into a dark corner because I don't want people to think I'm beating her or something.
Beating her?
Because she's crying so hard.
I think people's reaction would probably lean more towards the proposal as opposed to a beating.
Yeah, I guess.
But she's screaming, no, no.
But anyway, so that's how.
That's awesome, man! Well, congrats, dude.
And then we went to Charcut for dinner and met Connie, the owner of Charcut, who was on Top Chef. And
she's the owner.
She's the owner, and she does all the. She's the head cook as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and she was on Top Chef, and she comes around to every table, and she was.
Charcut's the restaurant that offers the Alley Burger.
The Alley Burgers. That's right.
Have you had an Alley Burger yet?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Alley Burger.
Really?
It's actually a sausage burger. I didn't know that.
Brutal.
And I don't like patties of big sausages.
Yeah, no. Oh, man. Terrible.
Yeah, it was just a patty of, like, crushed sausage. And if you're into sausage, it's delicious, right?
So. I guess so. Oh, holy shit. All right, man. Well, let's move on to some video games.
Okay.
You've been playing Assassin's Creed, the latest Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
And I've been telling you, you haven't been loving it. And the reason I know this
is because you haven't been talking to me about it really at all. No. And when you like a video game, dude, that's all I hear about for like the entire couple weeks you're playing it.
Yeah, that's true.
And so far, I haven't heard shit, dude. What's going on?
Well, there's been a lot of Skyrim, of course, right? And then now I'm starting to fit other games in, because in my opinion, you can't just play a Bethesda game straight through. I have to take breaks from it because it's a little bit repetitive. We'll talk about that later, but I like to play other games while I'm playing Bethesda games. So yeah, I've been throwing in Assassin's Creed, but I've been going back to Skyrim more, so that's why you haven't been hearing about it.
Oh yeah.
And at first I didn't like Assassin's Creed very much, because with Brotherhood it was getting pretty complex as it was, and then now it's got...
In terms of what, the story?
No, in terms of all the things that you have to do as you walk around the city. Like, you're managing assassins away on trips, as you're managing your Templar awareness level, and then there's all these different things, and as each game's come out, they've added more and more to that. And now they've added even more, and it was feeling a little bit overwhelming at first, but then now I'm getting to the groove of it. They've made some awesome improvements with like the camera angles and platforming sequences. It's much more like playing Uncharted or Tomb Raider with the way the camera's moving around and doing cool things. There was one really excellent platforming sequence that I love. The combat has improved. It's a little bit more like Batman. You get flashing health
bars. As good though?
No. No, not even close.
Yeah, obviously.
I don't know. It's not bad, but there's definitely huge improvements made. There's like slow motion, wicked dramatic kills when you kill the last guy of a group.
Cool.
You know, and there's great dual slayings where you'll like stab a guy, and as you're stabbing him, jump, roll over him, and stab the guy behind him in the neck and stuff like that. So
yeah,
there's a bunch of like cool little things added. You saw the hook.
Yeah, the hook was really cool.
You get a hook now that you can use to climb things really quickly, and that's neat.
But when it came down to it, man, like when I was watching you, I could have come in and you could have told me that was Assassin's Creed 2, and I would have believed you.
Right.
The first, like, 5-10 minutes, you know?
I think, you know, in that... It's not called Assassin's Creed 3, you know?
Yeah.
So it does feel like playing a big expansion for Assassin's Creed 2.
But what game really doesn't these days? That's what I've kind of been thinking about. It's like, what game isn't just kind of exactly like the last one with just slight improvements now? And, you know, when it comes down to it, can there really be anything more at this point? You know, until we get some new consoles and until people go back to PC gaming, I guess, all the time.
It's rare that people do new things with a series. Mario is a great example of a series that's changed almost every game quite extensively.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, Mario 2 was really different from Mario 1, and Mario 3 was really different from that, and then Sunshine Mario was totally different, and then Mario 3D was different.
Now they're kind of starting to feel the same, you know, between even Galaxy and Sunshine, like...
Galaxy and Sunshine were completely different experiences. What are you talking about?
Galaxy
was more similar to 64, but it was still different.
Yeah.
And Galaxy 2 was, of course, very similar to Galaxy 1.
What about Zelda? Have you tried Zelda yet?
I haven't tried the new Zelda. I've got it sitting there. I got the special edition with the gold controller. And
yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that goes, actually, and how the motion controls. But you like you said, you kind of like motion controls, so...
I think it definitely adds to the experience. When I heard that enemies block and you have to slash in a certain angle because they're blocking on an angle, so you have to slash on an angle different from the one they're blocking, so you have to go like that.
So I'm just worried about, like, when you're going with this motion from right to left and then you have to go up to this motion, that it's going to register wrong and think you're going this way, and when you're just trying to move your hand to get into that position to go the opposite way type of thing.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, even just reading somebody talking about you know, when you're lifting the sword out of the rock, you have to like raise your hand vertically with the joystick. Like that kind of stuff, it puts me in the game. And I've definitely had Wii experiences playing the Wii. I've had experiences where I'm like, wow, I am much more emotionally involved in this game because of how the motion controls correspond. And it's not like you're standing up and kicking and swinging like a Kinect. You're still doing fairly slight movements. But
I have heard that it does, that they do recommend you standing in this game.
While playing this new Zelda?
Yeah, as opposed to sitting.
So that's,
you can still play sitting, but I heard that they recommend you stand, man.
Well, we'll have to see. My setup definitely isn't good for it. I look at my TV at a weird angle, but...
Yeah, I'll there's say, no way you could stand out there.
A lot of people seem to think Ocarina was the best Zelda, and I'm fully of the opinion Twilight Princess was better than Ocarina.
Yeah.
Not just with the gameplay was similar enough that they were pretty much like the same style of game, but man, the story in Twilight Princess was dark, and the imagery was cool. It was the first time that, like, Zelda got badass, in my opinion. I was like, oh, sweet, this is like a horror novel almost, kind of. It was wicked.
Well, we know one thing. It's not going to look great.
That's true. 480p is the best you can hope for.
Yeah, and just what the Wii can do and what the Wii can push. I mean, it's definitely not going to look anything amazing. But, yeah, I mean, I want to talk about Skyrim. I want to touch back on Skyrim, man, and how I kind of think it's funny how kind of have opposite feelings almost compared to the last podcast. I'm now much more into Skyrim now, and you're kind of like, I'm a little bit bored. And
it's so similar to Oblivion.
Yeah.
It's different in a lot of very good ways, but, you know, I've played 5 Bethesda games now, like... 100 hours in each of them, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really familiar with the process now, and I'm taking crafting a lot more serious this time, and I'm trying to become like master crafter, which I've never done in one of these games before. So
yeah.
Each time I play one, I get a little bit more involved in what I do in it. But yeah, you know, I gotta say, it's a lot of fighting zombies, skeletons, and spiders. I haven't seen a lot of, and bandits. I haven't seen a lot of variety in what
but
I
we're
think.
Still pretty early in the game, man.
I'm
like
30 hours in. That's,
well,
that's
what level are you, though?
23?
Yeah, I mean...
That's a third of the way, man.
I guess so. I still don't mind it. I think it's funny. You know, pretty soon we're going to be taking down trolls and woolly mammoths. And not trolls, giants.
Mm-hmm.
And woolly mammoths
and trolls,
stuff, man.
I've seen trolls.
It's funny how you can take down a dragon, no problem. And then sometimes a saber-tooth will just jack you. It's like, what? What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty funny. But, you know, I'm really getting into it, man. And,
nice.
And like you said, the crafting and everything. And... I'm an alchemist. The thing I love the most is that every person that I talk to, you know, every single one of my buddies is having a different experience and playing it completely differently.
Yeah.
You know, I got one buddy who is two-handed, but he, like, rocks mage robes.
Really?
Yeah, it's, like, so weird, his style of playing, man. He has, like, a tank. His buddy, his ally, is, like, a tank. He gets him to tank the enemies, usually, and then he'll use his whirlwind shout, and then just, like, jump in there, and, like, boom, 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 and beat him down. And he doesn't care about, like, armor and shit like that. He, like, goes for looks more. So he's like, no, I just love the way it looks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny just talking to different people and hearing how they play the game and the way, like, what skills they choose. And
even you and I both chose Wood Elf Rangers.
Yeah.
And your archery and magic, and I'm archery, yeah, and sword and shield. Like, even you and me choosing the exact same class and race didn't even make the same play.
Yeah, I love the start. My archery is my number one, man, and I've definitely been leveling that like crazy. So I usually start off with archery, and then when they get in close, I go dual destruction. And then if I have to, I'll pull out some resto spells and heal myself and stuff.
But, nice.
Yeah, I'm really digging it, man. I'm really loving it. But, you know, like you said, I take breaks and I go back and I play, you know, some Black Ops or whatever. A couple of things I still find funny about the game. It's so immersive and everything. Why is there only 4 voice actors in the whole game? Like, every town you go to, there's that one dude that is the exact same guy in every town, man.
You're exaggerating a little, but it's between 20 and 30 voice actors for the whole game.
I don't understand what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't know, how do you not have a budget to hire some more voice actors? But I guess they want to keep the voice acting good.
Yeah.
Do you think it's good?
No, it's not even that good, man.
Some of it's horrendous.
Some of it's terrible.
The mage in Whiterun's, like the mage guy in Whiterun's castle.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy crap, he's a bad
mage.
Voice
quarters
actor.
There, yeah.
Yeah, beyond bad. Worst I've ever seen in a video game. Actually, I'm like, wow, he's like a major character too. That's not just like an innkeeper. But yeah, no, I'm loving it. I will say that the melee combat is way better than previous games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, finally, dude, you know, it's another hilarious thing is how lazy I've become in terms of, like, reading the manual and stuff. And, you know, there's certain things that could have helped me right at the beginning. Like, yeah. The quick select weapons. So you just go to your favorites menu and hold either right or left, and you can, like, quick select a weapon that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you now I can just hit right or left on the D-pad and switch between magic and bows. So obvious. And
did you know about left button to run?
Yeah, of course I knew.
I didn't know that. I was walking everywhere for like the first 10 hours of
the
day.
Well, the first thing I do is press every button.
Yeah.
You got to test every button.
Yeah, no, I pressed it. It didn't do anything until you press it while you're running. I stayed still and pressed it.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, so I've been loving that, and I got Saints Row the Third as well.
Yeah, you barely played it.
I played the first mission, which was like 10 minutes. Yeah, I played about 10, 15 minutes, and I shut it off, and I haven't gone back to it since. And it's not because it's not good or anything like that. I'm just waiting for someone to play with.
Yeah, I know, and it's funny because I said, yeah, let me know if you like it and I'll pick it up. I'm like, if you're 5 hours in and you're still playing it, then I'll pick it up and play with you. And now you're not playing because you're waiting for somebody to play with. You won't play co-op with me because you won't pick up a goddamn phone and go, hey, want to play. You just need it to, you want it to organically happen.
We don't need phones, Derek. You see me online, just send me a message.
But maybe I'm not playing video games and I'm doing something else, and I'm doing something like lame with my girlfriend that I don't want to do, and I would love a phone call. That would go, hey, do you want to not do that lame thing you're doing? Then I can go, hey, I have an excuse. Like, I need to play co-op with this game that I bought.
Honey, I gotta go. Joel's calling and we need to finish this mission.
I know. See, that's the exact... If you would just pick up a fucking phone and call me. Because I'm not always online. I'm a busy guy.
Man, the other day I was online and I was playing some Modern Warfare 3 because one of my buddies, he doesn't have Black Ops, so that's all he has is Modern Warfare 3. And to be honest, man, there's still something about Modern Warfare 3 that still gets me. I hate it at the same time as I love it, you know? Like, I'm still having a good time and... You know, I still average about the same kill-death ratio that I average at Black Ops. You know, it's not really that different.
Speaking of which, something funny happened recently.
Yeah, so this is the story I was going to tell. So, I was online the other day, and I had my heartbeat sensor monitor equipped on one of my guns, which is like, for those that don't know, like a little radar, and anytime an enemy comes near you, a little red blip comes up on it. So... I just spawned into this game with my buddy, and a red blip goes, and a guy's coming around the corner. I go into a prone position, and the guy comes around the corner, and all I can see is his feet, because I'm down on some stairs, and I shoot, and it's a fucking teammate, and I'm like, oh my god, of course, and then right after that, there's the enemy. He comes around the corner, shoots me, and I'm dead. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh god, great start to this fucking round. So then I spawn again. What happens? Almost the exact same thing. Same exact teammate too. But the heartbeat sensor monitor goes off. I shoot, except my teammate's right behind the enemy. So I have a three burst. So my three burst goes off. My first two bullets kill the enemy because it's hardcore. And then my last two bullets get my teammate. And he goes down and I kill him. I'm like, oh fuck. I put the controller down, put my headset down, and I walk away from the TV. I come back. My score is minus 100. I'm 1 in like 15 or something. Like just something stupid ridiculous. And who do I see in the lobby but Original Sin, who's one of our forum members.
Yeah.
Great. So here's Original Sin, comes into this lobby thinking he's going to be playing with me. This guy that he listens to about advice on video games.
Yeah.
And here's his score, minus 100, 1 in 15.
And what team the fuck? Kills, yeah.
And team kills, and who is this guy I'm listening to? Why am I listening to this guy? That sucks. I just want to say, Original Sin, I was not at my console when that was actually happening, so that's my excuse.
I never thought of his name before. That's where Original Sin's the, like, because Apple and Eve ate the fucking apple.
Yeah, and ruined it for us all, man.
Damn bitches, they always fuck everything up. Listen to snakes.
Listen to those snakes. What else is new, man? You want to do our... actually, wait. Before I do that, I want to talk about Life Too Short. Have you been watching Life Too Short at all?
Yeah.
Life Too Short is, for those that don't know, is the latest project from Ricky Gervais and Steve Merchant about Warwick Davis?
Warwick Davis.
Yeah, Warwick Davis, who's played Willow and was in the Star Wars movies and, mm-hmm. and shit like that.
Played Wicket.
Yeah, played Wicket. So it's about his... It's like another documentary, or mockumentary, about his life now and how he's still trying to make it in the acting business. So yeah, what do you think, dude?
First two episodes I loved. Third episode, I was like,
I haven't seen the third episode yet.
Wow, you watched the Johnny Depp episode and you still didn't think it was incredible?
I thought it was good. I thought Johnny Depp was brilliant. And yeah. I was laughing my ass off at that scene, for sure, man. The only thing that I don't really like is that it really seems that Warwick is kind of just doing a David Brent impression.
Yeah, it's so Gervais style, and like he's delivering it exactly like Gervais
does. Yeah, and I don't know if that's just British comedy, or if a lot of people actually have those mannerisms and speak like that, mm-hmm. but... yeah, it kind of throws me off, and there are definitely funny moments, man, and some moments that I find myself laughing out loud without a doubt.
Yeah, no, I really like the show. I'm definitely going to watch the whole first season for sure.
Yeah, I'll definitely keep watching it, yeah.
And speaking of TV shows, holy shit, Walking Dead's last episode.
Oh my god, dude. It
was so good.
So good. That last scene just brought everything to a head.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad that it brought around, because you weren't enjoying this season.
There was a few episodes, but even the couple episodes that came before this last one I really liked, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was brilliant writing. The whole season had about four or five different plots that were interwoven, and they all wrapped up in one scene at the end of this episode. It was quite impressive. You're like, wow, that is good fucking writing right there. That's like, you don't see that often, so...
Yeah, that last moment at the barn when... after all the chaos went down and the barn doors... It went back into the barn doors.
Yeah.
And,
Hey, you don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it, but my heart just sank like right away. I was like, oh. It was so powerful, man. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It was amazing. Amazing. So I can't wait to see what happens next. So that's their mid-season finale, man. So they won't be back until, what is it, January? Or late January or February?
February.
Yeah, February. And last episode of Community coming up. Christmas episode.
Yeah.
It's going to be the last episode before the big hiatus, the indefinite hiatus.
Huh. I hope they throw something cool in there. It was probably made and finished well before they found
out. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. They've been wrapped for a while, so they have the whole season filmed. The whole season's there. It's in the can, you know. So, we'll see. You want to do our top five stories of the week?
I think only... One of them is worth really talking about, but
really, what are the top five, man?
We got Q&A with Chandler Riggs, who plays Carl the Kid, Carl Grimes on Walking Dead.
So Walking Dead, you know, we've already talked about Walking Dead.
He's actually a good actor, man.
Good little actor. I don't mind him at all for a child actor.
Yeah, no, he's doing a good job. Everybody on the show is.
Well, a lot of people are saying. I hear a lot of it. Like, what is this? Just a soap opera with zombies, or what is this? It's like, isn't anything just a soap opera with this or with that element?
Yeah, I think they're kind of saying it's like it's all about interpersonal relationships. Like, oh, I love you, and I'm pregnant, and it's. It's a little bit more dramatic than a
zombie. Yeah, but those are elements that just kind of add to the intensity, man. Like, how would you deal with a pregnancy in this zombie apocalypse? Don't you find that interesting?
That, like, my main problem
was... It's not fucking Brenda coming back from the dead from... I shouldn't say we're talking about zombies now. I guess they are coming back from the dead.
But no, it's just the Rick and Laurie stuff, I think. It was getting to be a bit much...
Yeah, I could kind of see that.
You know, but it's okay. It was only a couple episodes, so... The next top story is actually really interesting. Last Guardian lead Fumito Ueda quit Sony, who is the guy who made ICO and Shadow of Colossus, and Last Guardian is the new one that's coming
that's
out
coming
really
out.
Soon.
And he so just, that's his last game.
He quit Sony.
Oh, really?
He didn't quit video games. He quit Sony. So now there's all rumors. Is it coming out for PlayStation 3 now? What is the game coming out for? We don't even know. I'm sure Sony's got it tied up, right? But
you would think so, man.
It says, the Last Guardian creative lead and team ICO head Fumita.
So what did he do at Sony other than create these games? Just created these games exclusively for Sony?
Yeah. I'm really not sure. I guess Team ICO is probably should read our top stories before we talk about them.
I just like to get our gut reaction, man.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's nothing to read. Last Guardian was pushed out of a holiday 2011 release window and says it's getting close. Yeah, nothing. Huh. No real details. He looks like a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's got
interesting. It'll definitely be interesting to see what happens with Last Guardian, man.
Yeah, it says quit Sony working as freelancer to complete game. What does that
mean? To complete game. Well, if Last Guardian's not done...
Yeah.
Wow. That could be huge news, man. I would love to see that on Xbox.
The next one is Tintin Film casts Cars among star performers, so...
Cast Cars among star performers.
Oh, just picking the cars that they'll be using in the film.
Isn't Tintin out right now?
I thought it was, too.
What's this whole racial controversy surrounding Tintin?
Yeah, apparently Tintin's racist.
What do you mean?
Something about a black guy, a guy in blackface, or he looks like a golly doll or something, I don't know.
And it's a character in the movie?
Yeah, or he says something. He implies something like the black guy should be waiting on him or something, or the black... Oh, yeah, no, okay, the black guy acts like, oh, hello, mister, like, good to see you. Like, oh, let me shine your shoes. You know, like, he's got very, like, racial, like, blackface stereotypes.
What time period does Tintin take place in?
In that time period.
Well, what's the problem here?
I know.
We can no longer depict history as it was anymore?
I don't think it was ever actually like that, though. That's the thing. That was a character.
No, that's what I mean, man. Like, that's what I mean. If that's what it's trying to emulate is that whole era of films and shit like that, that's what it's doing, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't think so. I think it's supposed to be a modern take on Tintin.
Oh, okay. Well,
but it's still got the same
different story, I guess.
I don't know when it actually takes place, though. What, Tintin in the Congo came under criticism for its. Tintin in the Congo came under criticism for its racist attitudes towards Congolese people, portraying them as infantile and stupid, and drawing them in a stereotypical manner. Yeah, they do look like monkeys. Look at them. that such accusations against the book only came about decades after its original publication because it was only following the collapse of European colonial rule in Africa during the 1950s, 60s, and 70s that the average Western attitude towards Africans changed.
So wait, this is from the books, or...
No, yeah, so people were saying that the movie shouldn't be released because this one super racist book existed.
How long ago was that book published?
Long time ago. 1931.
Oh, come on, 1931. Man!
1931. Oh, wait, yeah, 1931.
See, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, so they're saying you can't make a modern movie out of it because there was one edition of Tintin was racist in the 30s.
Oh my god, what are we doing, man? Like, what are we doing?
I think there's a good backlash against that kind of shit now. If you know, and I'm really proud of that cracker joke I tell, because it's basically saying the same thing. It's like, fuck this, I am not racist. Like, I have never, I have gone and fought Nazis at fucking rallies when they've done their stupid rallies here in Calgary. I've gone and yelled at them.
You fought
like
Nazis?
I didn't fight them, but I yelled at them. I was one of the people there in support.
You made it sound like you were in World War II. I went and fought the Nazis, man. I put in my time.
I showed my face at the rally as a face in support against their rally, which is exactly what they wanted. I don't do it anymore, but I think there's a good backlash happening against that kind of racial sensitivity where it's like, yeah, you know what, it's really not 99%.
We just have to stop living in this nanny society, man. Like, we just have to stop babying everybody. Yeah. We have to stop censoring shit. We have to let it be, let art be produced,
yeah,
and let people judge it for what it is, man.
Or decide not to pay.
Or see it. Exactly, decide not to go see it.
Yeah,
that's how you. Yeah, that's how you fight it, man. By not watching it, not supporting it.
Yeah.
Ah, just ridiculous. Like, it's stupidity is all it is. Anyway, what's number four story?
Announcing YouTube analytics, the next generation in insight. Not interested in that. Yeah. I'm sure it's interesting, but it's not the theme of this podcast. Oh, and yeah, we have to talk about this. South Park RPG developed by Fallout New Vegas, my favorite Fallout. The people that made Fallout New Vegas are making a South Park what?
Are you going to get bored of the South Park, though?
No.
This piece of style?
No, that is...
I thought you would jizz your pants when I saw this, yeah.
No, you're seriously talking about my favorite television show of all time being combined with my favorite developer of video games.
Just the New Vegas developers, though. Is that your favorite of the whole Bethesda series, man?
There's parts of me that like New Vegas more than Skyrim still.
Yeah.
Yeah. New Vegas was excellent. That was an awesome game. Fallout 3 was a little bit rambling, a little bit disconnected. New Vegas was tight. It introduced the hardcore mode where you actually have to sleep and eat and drink, which I slept and eat and drank anyways.
Yeah.
I did that anyways, so...
And it's going to be interesting. I wonder what take they're going to do on it. Is it going to be like the the South Park fantastical world where they all think they're like superheroes and shit like that, and that's how it's gonna go? Or I wonder how they're gonna do it, man.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be so... All the South Park games have been pretty decent, the ones that they've released, man.
Not all of them. The one for 64, like, they had a long history of bad games, actually. The Tower Defense game, okay, but it was... Who wanted to play that?
Some fun. I love Tower Defense, man.
But did you buy that game?
Yeah, I did. I did buy that one, yeah.
All right, I didn't play that one. They've got a new side-scroller coming out, too, where they're all the superheroes. And it's Mysterion and Mintberry Crunch. Oh, my God, I hope you can play Mintberry Crunch. That would be so awesome.
That would be my guess is how the RPG is going to work, more along that style.
Hmm.
I don't know how they do it if it's just them living in South Park.
But why not? Why do they have to be superheroes?
I don't know, because then what are you going to go fight? What are you going to go do?
The same things that they do in an episode where, like, maybe the gingers are, like, the plot for the side view scroll. Actually, I guess that was a superhero one. All the gingers are fighting them. I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah, definitely interested to see how it's going to work, man. All right, well, that was our top five stories of the week.
That's about it for the podcast, I think.
Yeah, and that's about it for the podcast, too, man.
I hope it wasn't too noisy. I hope our creaking chairs and movements wasn't, because everything is going to come out.
Yeah, well, do what you got to do. Stop lending out the mics,
bitch. This was the last week I had to do it, so.
Chris Griffin, you bastard.
Seriously.
Get your lazy ass up. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Peace out. Oh, follow us on Twitter at SITMOS, and go to our website, sitmos.net, or stuckinthemiddlesomewhere.com, and our personal Twitter at Joel Gardner or at Sweet Comedian. And now we'll see you bitches next week.
Totally.